Can the U.S. government stake in Intel be rationalized? Mark Venasaurus. Intel, when the U.S. government decided to convert roughly $8.9 billion in unpaid CHIPS Act and secure enclave grants into equity, it became the largest single shareholder in Intel with a 9.9% stake. For a company once seen as the undisputed leader of American chipmaking, this is a stunning turn of events. It's also a deal that raises as many questions as it answers. On the surface, the White House frames this as a prudent national security measure. But peel back the layers, and the intervention looks suspiciously political, dangerously precedent-setting, and uncomfortably generous to a company whose mismanagement is mainly responsible for its plight. President Trump's role makes the optics even murkier. Just weeks before the stake was announced, Trump was publicly calling for the resignation of Intel CEO Lip-Bu Tan, citing alleged ties to China. Tan managed to secure a high-stakes meeting in Washington and emerged not only with his job intact, but with a fresh financial lifeline for his company. The sequence makes it hard to shake the feeling that political influence, not purely strategic rationale, greased the wheels of this transaction. The official line is that this is not a bailout. The government described it as an equity conversion transaction with no board seats, no governance rights, and theoretically no interference in Intel's day-to-day affairs. But no one should be so naive as to believe politics will not creep into this arrangement sooner or later. After all, this is the Trump administration. National security meets political footprint. It's important to acknowledge the legitimate national security logic at play. Semiconductors are now the foundational layer of everything from smartphones to satellites, cloud servers to missile defense systems. The COVID-era shortages made clear just how vulnerable the United States was to overseas supply disruptions, particularly with Taiwan's semiconductor manufacturing company sitting at the epicenter of global production. A geopolitical shock in the Taiwan Strait would be catastrophic for both the U.S. economy and its defense posture. The CHIPS and Science Act was conceived precisely to address that risk by investing in domestic manufacturing capacity and ensuring that the U.S. wouldn't be left dependent on offshore foundries. Intel, with its profound legacy and existing footprint in U.S. fabs, was a logical beneficiary of those funds. In that sense, the move to turn and use grants into equity does keep the spirit of CHIPS alive. Instead of simply giving away taxpayer money, Washington tied support to actual performance. If Intel manages a turnaround, the government, and by extension the public, may even see upside as the shares appreciate. Yet national security cannot completely sanitize the politics of the moment. The circumstances surrounding Tan's meeting with Trump, the administration's very public flip-flop from demanding resignation to brokering an equity deal, and the optics of choosing equity at a discount to market value all leave this decision open to accusations of favoritism. Industrial policy is supposed to serve the nation broadly. When it begins to look like a tool of political negotiation, the credibility of the entire program suffers. A slippery precedent with real risks, this episode highlights a broader danger, the slippery slope of selective intervention. Once the U.S. government signals a willingness to buy into distressed strategic companies, why wouldn't others line up expecting the same treatment? Suppose Intel can make the case that national security justifies a 10% government stake. What stops other troubled tech companies, or even defense suppliers, from making similar arguments when they stumble? The concern isn't academic. Reports suggest the administration is also considering stakes in NVIDIA, AMD, and critical mineral suppliers like MP Materials. If this becomes a default tool of industrial policy, it marks a sharp departure from traditional American capitalism. The U.S. would be inching toward a quasi-sovereign wealth fund, but one managed not for broad, diversified return, but for politically expedient outcomes. The legal implications are equally troubling. As the Financial Times recently pointed out, a sovereign shareholder may be shielded by sovereign immunity, insulating it from the fiduciary responsibilities that bind other investors. Minority shareholders could find themselves with reduced recourse if decisions are made for political rather than economic reasons. Imagine a scenario where the government pressures Intel to prioritize domestic hiring over profitability or to abandon a lucrative overseas partnership for geopolitical reasons. Those may serve policy goals, but they distort corporate governance and leave private investors carrying the cost. The symbolism matters, too. The U.S. has long prided itself on free markets and limited state intrusion. A precedent of selective equity stakes risks eroding that brand globally. If American firms appear propped up by political favor rather than market performance, it could undermine confidence in U.S. capital markets, making it harder to attract foreign investment or to criticize similar state interventions by rivals like China credibly. Intel's self-inflicted challenges. Yet forgiven perhaps the most frustrating aspect of this situation is that Intel's struggles are essentially of its own making. For two decades, the company has stumbled through a series of strategic blunders and leadership misfires. It failed to seize a mobile opportunity, ceding the smartphone chip market entirely to Qualcomm, Apple, and MediaTek. It mishandled its manufacturing roadmap, with repeated delays in 10 nanometers and 7 nanometers processes, leaving it years behind TSMC and Samsung. Its foray into discrete graphics came far too late to dent NVIDIA's dominance. Leadership instability compounded the problem. The celebrated return of Pat Gelsinger promised a revival, but his tenure ended in disappointment, marked by an $18.19 billion loss in 2024 and the painful decision to scrap multiple planned megafabs in Europe. The appointment of Lip-Bu Tan, while intended to bring new strategic focus, immediately stirred controversy given his past business ties in Asia. All of this unfolded alongside massive planned layoffs, further eroding confidence in Intel's ability to right the ship. To put it bluntly, this is not a company felled by external shocks alone. It is a company that repeatedly missed opportunities, failed to execute, and allowed competitors to leapfrog it. That makes the government's decision to step in even harder to swallow. While Intel gets a lifeline, many other companies, which are just as critical to the broader tech ecosystem, are left to fend for themselves. This inconsistency risks creating a moral hazard. Firms may believe that poor management will be forgiven as long as they can frame themselves as strategically essential. Holding the nose, the pragmatic choice? So where does that leave us? On one hand, the political fingerprint are apparent. The precedent is unsettling, and Intel hardly deserves special treatment given its track record. On the other hand, the alternatives are worse. An outright bailout would invite even louder accusations of cronyism and waste. A government loan would saddle Intel with more debt without addressing its structural challenges. Allowing the company to collapse is unthinkable, given the role its fabs play in domestic chipmaking. By taking a passive equity stake, Washington at least ties taxpayer money to Intel's fortunes. If the company recovers, the government shares in the upside. If it doesn't, the loss is at least structured as an investment rather than a handout. In that sense, this deal is a messy compromise, awkward, politically tainted, and far from ideal, but arguably the least bad option available. Markets seem to agree. Intel stock rose roughly 5-7% after the announcement, reflecting cautious optimism that the government's backing buys time for a turnaround. That's not a guarantee of recovery, but it does suggest that investors see this as preferable to uncertainty or collapse. For taxpayers, it means there's at least a chance of recouping value rather than writing off billions. Still, no one should mistake this for a clean solution. Politics will almost certainly creep in. Expectations from other companies will grow louder. Shareholder rights could be muddied. But for now, tolerating this awkward marriage of state and enterprise may be the only way to preserve America's chip sovereignty while avoiding more heavy-handed interventions. Final thoughts: the U.S. government's 10% stake in Intel embodies the contradictions of modern industrial policy. It is at once defensible and uncomfortable, strategically necessary and politically compromised. It highlights just how fragile America's semiconductor position has become and how desperate policymakers are to prevent further erosion. But the uncomfortable truth remains. Intel is in this position because of its own failures. Bad leadership, poor execution, and missed opportunities set the stage for this moment. While national security may justify intervention, it should not obscure accountability. Other companies will watch closely, wondering if they, too, can expect salvation when mismanagement meets market pressure. For the record, I fully recognize that it is in America's best interest for Intel to succeed. I have many friends who still work there. The company still has some of the most talented engineers and technologists in the world, and their expertise remains vital to the nation's semiconductor future. The PC industry itself would not exist in the same form without Intel's historic processor breakthroughs, which set the standard for decades of computing progress. Beyond CPUs, Intel's innovations in memory, chipsets, and connectivity helped transform the PC into arguably the greatest productivity device in human history, and the world owes much of that legacy to Intel. But in the end, this deal is not one to celebrate. It is one to endure. A 10% passive equity stake may be awkward, even distasteful, but compared to outright bailouts or loans, it is the least objectionable path. It forces Intel to sink or swim on its performance, while giving the U.S. government a stake in preserving a critical industry. To borrow a phrase, the best course may simply be to hold one's nose and hope this awkward compromise proves less damaging than the alternatives. Mark Vina is the CEO and principal analyst at Smart Tech Research based in Las Vegas, Nevada. As a technology industry veteran for over 25 years, Mark covers many consumer tech topics, including PCs, smartphones, smart home, connected health, security, PC and console gaming, and streaming entertainment solutions. Mark has held senior marketing and business leadership positions at Compaq, Dell, Alienware, Synaptics, Sling Media, and Nitto Robotics. Mark has appeared on CNBC, NBC News, ABC News, Business Today, the Discovery Channel, and other media outlets. Mark's analysis and commentary have appeared on Forbes.com and other well-known business news and research sites. His comments about the consumer tech space have repeatedly appeared in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, USA Today, Tech News World, and other news publications. Smart Tech Research, like all research and tech industry analyst firms, provides or has provided paid services to technology companies. These services include research, analysis, advising, consulting, benchmarking, acquisition, or speaking sponsorships. Companies mentioned in this article may have utilized these services. Furthermore, given Smart Tech Research's expertise and its utilization of AI tools within its own practice, the company provides guidance to other businesses on employing AI in a productive and responsible manner. Smart Tech Check Podcast. Subscribe to Smart Tech Check Podcast for weekly podcast episodes. Watch Mark Vina's podcast with industry luminaries. Subscribe to my Smart Tech Check podcast on YouTube and to my Smart Tech Check newsletter for free on LinkedIn or Medium for updates on the most important disruptive tech topics that should be on your radar screen.